Let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes tonight, where we have been for several months now. We have just a few messages left to close out the book of Ecclesiastes, where we have observed Solomon, the teacher, Koheleth, in the classroom of life, I suppose you could say, teaching us how to live a meaningful life. In the first half of Ecclesiastes, Solomon took us around on a tour of life and the things that we can give ourselves to, and oftentimes people do give themselves to, and in order to search for meaning. And he showed time and again that you will not find meaning in these things. And then in the second half of the book, it's now turned to these teachings on how do we live in a way that's meaningful, what are some things we should seek or even put off in our lives. And tonight, this is a chapter that really focuses on things that we shouldn't pursue in our lives. This is a warning. And I'm going to give you a word or a phrase that has become commonplace in our culture. There's a little bit of a trigger warning tonight when I show you the slide, okay? If you don't like clowns, you've been warned, okay? All right? Because tonight we're going to look at the price of living foolishly. And yes, you got to look at that puppet on there all the rest of the night, okay? So if you don't like it, thanks, Holly, okay? No, Holly does a great job with our slides, and that's been a blessing to me. But I saw that yesterday, I went, woo, okay, you know? So, but it's perfect for what we're talking about tonight, that there is a price to living foolishly. And that's exactly what Solomon talks about here in Ecclesiastes chapter 10. You know, in our lives, there are so many times when we have nobody to blame for the problem we're in but ourselves. We make foolish decisions and they come home to roost. You know, as I thought about this and living in a foolish way, I was taken back to something that my mom used to say when I was a kid. I remember as a kid, you know, my mom would ask me to do things, you know, carry in the groceries from the car or move things around the house. And I didn't really want to take as much time to do those things because, you know, I had other fun things I wanted to do with my life, you know. And inevitably, you know, when she would ask me to move all this stuff, I don't know if you did this or if your kids did this, I would stack it precariously, you know, and try to carry it. I still do this when I unload the groceries. You know, it's like how many bags can you carry in at one time, right? And inevitably, as a kid, I would drop all that stuff, right? And then it takes us much longer to pick it up. And I remember my mom would say to me, you know, that's just a lazy man's load. And if you had done it the right way, you wouldn't have dropped all of that, right? And that phrase, you know, lazy man's load, my kids probably have heard that now many times in their life because it stays when you're in your head, right? Doing something like that, you know, dropping the groceries on the way in or stuff, you move it across the house, that can be innocuous, it can be inconvenient in your life. But those same types of foolish and short-sighted behaviors can lead to greater hardships and troubles in our lives if we continue to practice them in other areas of our life. And if we're going to live a meaningful life, as Solomon has instructed us here in Ecclesiastes, we need to understand that living foolishly has a price. And Solomon unpacks that price here in this chapter. And what we see is this. Folly, which is foolishness, right, a foolish way of living, may offer self-gratification in the short term, but it cannot protect your life or offer you true meaning. Foolishness has to offer you something, right? Folly has to make you a promise. It has to have something, at least at some level that it can offer you, or else nobody would do it, right? That's how sin always is. It offers you something. Now, it never delivers on what it offers you, right? It's always less than what it promises. And so in the short term, folly may offer you some sort of self-gratification, some enjoyment or pleasure. But in the long term, right, there's nothing that's going to protect your life. There's nothing that's going to give you a true meaning. And when we talk about protecting your life, I mean, we talk about eternally, right? Having a relationship with God and living in heaven with him. But even Solomon talks about that there are practically some things that wisdom does to protect us in this life. And so let's take that approach tonight as we dig into Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and see what Solomon has to say. And the first section of verses comes from verses 1 through 7 as Solomon shows us the foolish leaders that are there that he's observed. And it begins really with this verse that's going to kind of set the tone for the rest of the chapter, talking about the stench of folly. He says in chapter 10, verse 1, "Dead flies make the perfumer's ointment give off a stench. So a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor." So Solomon has spent much of the time in this book making the case of how we are to live under the sovereign hand of God. Indeed, that's what we spent the last chapter or so here looking at, or two chapters ago, looking at how do you live under the sovereign hand of God. And he's instructed us on what we're to value in life. He's shown us in this book, one of the key words has been the Hebrew word hevel, right? Vanity, this emptiness or this temporary thing, that something that's there and then it vanishes away. It slips through our fingers. And now he says, okay, class, you know, here's the dangers of folly you need to watch out for. And so this chapter is about wisdom and about folly. But really more specifically, this chapter deals with how folly attacks wisdom, undermining the work of wisdom. And we find out that folly is a very dangerous thing, right? Fools, and when the Bible uses the word fool, it's not in a joking or a good way at all, right? It's those who live contrary to reality that God is in control. And so fools rage against wisdom, and that has a price. Solomon here paints a picture of this experience. Chapter 10, verse 1 is a very picturesque verse, right? It's probably not the picture you wanted, right? That here is a perfumer who does great work, right? He concocts expensive products. But you add a few dead flies into this ointment that he's made, and all of that work goes right out the window, right? You can almost see in this picture, you know, here was somebody who, whether it was the perfumer or someone who worked with them, they left the lid off the ointment, and the flies were attracted, and they got in there, and they died, and now that which was appealing becomes a repulsive mess. What once would have commanded a hefty sum is now good for nothing because it stinks, it reeks, it gives off a stench. And a few seemingly insignificant insects have ruined the whole product. If given quarter, they attack that product, they rob the perfumer of his profits. And now here he is, you know, you can imagine this, he's done all this work, and he has nothing to show for it. And Solomon says, this is the picture of what folly does in our lives. A little bit of foolishness undoes and ruins the work of wisdom and honor. It doesn't take much. Solomon used a similar picture earlier when speaking of a good name, right? Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1, he said, a good name is better than precious ointment. There's that picture again, right? And the day of death than the day of birth. So one who is respected for these things, even living in a pattern of wisdom and obedience to the Lord, right? That's a good thing, but even he can be blemished by foolish behavior. And I would point you no further than the scriptures to illustrate that point. How many times in the Bible do we see followers of God fall into foolishness? Noah embarrassed his family and he in himself, right? In the way that he acted foolishly. Samuel, the great prophet, the last judge of Israel, failed to parent his own children, giving over to foolishness. David, a man after God's own heart, committed adultery and murder. Solomon, the author of this text, had his heart turned away by heathen women. And we could go on and on, we're not. But it doesn't mean they were rejected by God. It doesn't mean their faith in God vanished or God exiled them from his kingdom. But they did bear the consequences, and their descendants would bear the consequences of their foolish decisions. And so God calls on all who would follow him to be leaders, right? That's what God calls us to be leaders for him in the things of him and to share the gospel with others and to live in the way of the gospel. But that leadership can be and is undermined by foolish decisions. Foolish leaders of a nation let the nation go to ruin, and foolish decisions do not go unnoticed. And that's what Solomon says in verses 2-4. He says that this folly does not keep to itself, but it is displayed. A wise man's heart inclines him to the right, but a fool's heart to the left. Even when the fool walks on the road, he lacks sense, and he says to everyone that he is a fool. If the anger of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your place, for calmness will lay great offenses to rest. Living in folly, Solomon says, does not set you on the right path of life. He says in verse 2 that the wise man is inclined to the right, and the foolish man is inclined to the left. And maybe we look at that and we say, well, I don't really get that. What does that have to do with anything? Well, in Scripture, the right side or the right hand is considered the place of honor and protection, right? It was something that people looked at, especially in this culture, and they said, yep, that's honor, that's protection. You know, you're gonna do that, that's what the right hand is associated with. And so wisdom, Solomon says, protects its user. Solomon has stated the value and the protection of wisdom several times in this book, and here again he praises that a right man's heart, or a wise man's heart, inclines him to the right. But folly undermines that protection. It opens one up to attack, right? That a fool's heart is to the left because it's the opposite of the right. And we're not just talking about physical attack, but spiritually as well. Because foolishness goes against God and against godly behavior. Foolishness is living contrary to the reality that God is in control and I need to follow him and submit to him. That's what foolishness is. Solomon would say in the book of Proverbs that, you know, that wisdom is found in the fear of the Lord, right? But fools despise wisdom and instruction. They go against that. Wisdom confirms that God is in control, that he is real, that he is to be followed and submitted to in our lives. And this is an issue that begins in the heart, and it works itself out in the way that we live our lives. That the fear of the Lord informs wisdom's beginnings, and it continues all throughout the life of one who continues to live wisely. But folly takes that away, and it exposes itself. And I mentioned in a previous message on Ecclesiastes that wisdom stands out. Solomon talks about that. He says that when someone is wise, people notice that. And I gave you the illustration that we see that even today, right? When someone is wise beyond their years, people make note of that. But folly works in much the same way. It exposes itself. People also notice fools. I love Solomon says here, you know, even when a fool walks on the road, he lacks sense, and he says to everyone that he is a fool. Your foolish, ungodly behaviors cannot be hidden indefinitely. They're eventually going to come out. I mean, here's this guy, he's walking down the road, but because this is something he does in his folly, it just stands out to people. Fools refuse instruction and correction, and thus they continue to display that folly to everybody. Solomon says that folly is displayed. And so in the midst of these, okay, now the wise man, right, he's inclined to the right, the fool to the left, the fool is just broadcasting everybody, this is who he is. Solomon gives, okay, now here's some things, you know, you need to pay attention to. Here's some behavioral advice in light of this. He says, if the anger of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your place, for calmness will lay great offenses to rest. And it could be that the ruler here that he's talking about in verse 4 is the one who is foolish, but also it seems here that he's, what he's doing is he's warning against acting foolishly in these situations. He says, listen, if you find yourself the object of a ruler's anger, don't act rashly and foolishly. And he mentioned this in some previous chapters, and I think it was in chapter 8, talking about not leaving your post, your place under the king. It is the way of fools that in a tight moment, when all the facts aren't known, just to react and bail out. Instead, Solomon is admonishing the reader to approach these situations calmly and with thought, to think wisely. Fools look for quick exits. Fools look for the path of least resistance. Well, I'm in trouble, I'm out of here, right? Solomon says, no, that's not what you need to do. The wise are going to stay the course as long as it is prudent, seeking with God's help to make the best decision. Yet, Solomon says in verses 5 through 7, foolishness is displayed ad nauseum so many times. He says here in verses 5 through 7, here is some illustration of some authoritative folly. There is an evil that I have seen under the sun, as it were an error proceeding from the ruler. Folly is set high in many places, and the rich sit in a low place. I have seen slaves on horses and princes walking on the ground like slaves. So Solomon uses this phrase again. He says, I see evil under the sun. And we have come to realize that Solomon thinks this world is a pretty evil place. And indeed it is, because of sin. And he sees here a ruler who is engaging in foolish behaviors. He sees a ruler making what he deems, here in verse 5, an error that's proceeding from him. It is the foolish behavior of the one in charge. Those who are set in the high places of government, as Solomon observes it in his day, even they are not immune from foolishness, right? Just because you hold a position doesn't mean you're not a fool. And so many foolish people who want nothing to do with God and sound decisions are given so much power in this life that we live in. And this is often because fools seem to attract themselves, right? Seeking to multiply themselves. I mean, there is a principle in life that fools and those who act like them kind of seem to attract each other, right? When I was a youth pastor, we go to camp every summer, to summer camp, and we'd be there for a week, and it was like you get off the bus, and within like half an hour, all the foolish kids like all find each other, right? It's like they just have this radar, like, hey, I'm looking for somebody else who's going to cause trouble all week. You? All right, let's hang out, you know? And it was like that every time, you know? Like, they just kind of knew who each other were. I don't know if there's like a secret signal or something that went up, you know? But so it is in this picture, right? Here's this fool, he's in charge, and he's got other fools that he's put in charge with them, and they kind of multiply themselves, right? He talks about here, the folly is set in many high places, right? And they're the ones who are in charge. But the rich, and again, presumably these people who are rich because of their wisdom, right? The choices that they have made, they're marginalized. They instead sit in a low place, given no credence in the leadership of this nation. He talks about slaves who sit upon horses and the ones who that people should be following are the ones walking, right? Because instead, these ones who do not belong in that place have been put in charge, right? What he's talking about in this picture of slaves on horses and princes walking on the ground, he's talking about when you have fools that are in charge, the people who should be in charge aren't in charge. The people who shouldn't be in charge, wait, did I say that? Did I say the same thing both ways? People who should be in charge aren't, and the people who shouldn't be are, right? He's saying, look, hey, the whole thing's turned on its head, right? That's what folly does. It takes the people who have shown that they can lead, that shown they will do right, that would shown that they would lead the nation in a right and good way and what is good for the people. Instead, they're being marginalized, and the whole thing is turned upside down. What you have instead is a ruler who is living by his feelings and by his changes in behavior and not by wisdom. This is foolishness. What a miserable lot it is, because folly taints everything it touches. And we observe that even in our own lives, right? We see foolishness multiplying itself and showing itself. But folly can even taint the timing of our life's activities. It's not limited to just those in authority. And so Solomon continues here in verses 8 through 11. He talks about foolish living. And in verses 8 and 9, he says, here's some unforeseen disaster that comes about in the life of fools. He who digs in a pit will fall into it, and a serpent will bite him who breaks through a wall. He who quarries stones is hurt by them, and he who splits logs is endangered by them. So here, Solomon presents these four common activities that could end disastrously if one does not live wisely. What is he doing? He is exalting the wisdom of looking ahead, of engaging our minds and our God's wisdom in what we do in our lives, right? So you can dig a pit, and that could be profitable, right? Maybe there's a reason. Maybe it's a well. Maybe there's some other storage usage. But it becomes a hazard when the fool falls in. Now he wastes time, he risks injury, and even threatens his own life because he was careless. He speaks of breaking through a wall, or another way of saying this is tearing down a wall. And that may be put to a halt if there is a snake living within that wall that one didn't think about, and he bites him while he's doing that work. But wisdom analyzes the dangers ahead of time before engaging in these activities. Quarrying stones and splitting logs are great ways to secure construction material, especially in this day, and provide for one's family and life. But they both present mortal danger and risk of injury if you do not approach those things wisely. You see, what is Solomon saying? Wisdom is going to guard your life. Everyday activities become dangerous to those who do not have wisdom. Parents of children, if you have parented children, you understand this implicitly. How many times as a parent were you in survival mode trying to help your kids survive and not end their lives prematurely because they don't know any better, right? When they take their little finger and they're like, oh, that's a really cool little hole in the wall. I'm going to stick my finger in there, right? Or I'm going to stick a fork in there, right? Or I'm going to just, you know, go over the edge of these stairs. And like, as you feel like as a parent, you're just like constantly like, don't kill yourself, right? And as children grow and learn, right, we hope and we try and we teach them to apply knowledge to take knowledge and apply it, which is wisdom, right? We hope that they're going to listen and one day at least they're going to use their noodles, right? However, there are those in life who never do live in wisdom. They suffer harm and sometimes death because they fail to live wisely. I mean, life is short as it is. If you live foolishly, it's even shorter. And it makes life way more difficult than it needs to be, right? In verses 10 through 11, Solomon says, not only does foolishness lead to unforeseen disaster in our lives, it leads to undermined success. If the iron is blunt and one does not sharpen the edge, he must use more strength, but wisdom helps one to succeed. If the serpent bites before it is charmed, there is no advantage to the charmer. Solomon says here is someone who's using an iron that is blunted. And in the context here, we understand this. The iron is an axe that he's talking about. The axe that has not been sharpened, right? It's going to likely still accomplish the task that person is going after, right? Maybe, you know, here he is, splitting logs or whatever it is he's got going. And you can use force and probably eventually get to where you're going, but you're going to have to work a lot harder to get there. You know, instead, wisdom would have helped this man succeed. Say, hey, we need to sharpen this up so that we can shorten the task here and not put ourselves in danger. A snake charmer, that's the next picture in verse 11. If he misapplies his craft and is bitten before the snake is charmed, he's in major trouble. The picture here in verse 11 is, here's the snake charmer, and he's rushing through the process, right? This takes time. It takes, you know, this idea of charming the snake with the music or whatever, the entertainer here, it takes time to go through the process. And if you rush through because I just want to get to the money, I want to get to the next show, I want to do this, and he reaches out, guess what happens? He gets bit. And now he suffers injury, right? Or at the very least, humiliation. So what does Solomon tell us? Solomon tells us wisdom is valuable for daily dangerous, and difficult tasks. This is why we need wisdom. Foolishness in living will make life more difficult because the fool presumes this: I know best, and I don't need to listen to anybody else. And Solomon says, you're going to have a very hard life if that's the way you live. If you stubbornly lock into your own ways and you do not listen to the word of God and you do not listen to the ministry of God's word through others and you do not obey God, you are a fool and you're hurting yourself and you're hurting everybody else who's connected to you in your life. This is immensely practical application of the Bible's teaching because guess what? The Bible is very practical. The wisdom that we find in God helps us in our day-to-day lives. And God allows us to enjoy benefits in our temporal short lives if we follow him in wisdom. This does not guarantee, of course, that everything in life will go smoothly because we live in a fallen, sinful world and we're affected by things that go on here. But I think it really does minimize the times we get in our own way if we live wisely. Furthermore, Solomon says this wisdom or this folly can invade into the speech of our lives. And he talks here in verses 12 through 15 about foolish speech. Look at verses 12 and 13 and see, here's the eradicated wisdom from this. The words of a wise man's mouth win him favor, but the lips of a fool consume him. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is evil madness. So the way a wise man uses his words has direct results in his life. Wisdom begins, again, I've said it a few times, I want to keep reiterating this. Wisdom begins in the fear of the Lord. So therefore, a wise man speaks in a way that honors God. He speaks with grace. And those words win him favor because he speaks the things of God. You see, the way one speaks to others is going to have results in his life. It's the way it has been, it's the way it always will be. If you speak wisely with others, you enjoy the fruit of those interactions. But if you speak foolishly, you only do yourself harm. Solomon, what does he say here? The lips of a fool consume him. Again, what another picture that is, right? That he's talking, and while he's talking, it's like he's eating himself. He's destroying himself because of what he says. Foolish speech is destructive to our lives, especially. It undermines the speaker because we speak evil and sin, and that does not go unpunished by the Lord. It only degrades the situation. A fool begins his speaking in foolishness, Solomon says, and it ends in madness. Right? He says there that the beginning of words of his mouth is foolishness and the end of his talk is evil madness. It doesn't change from the beginning to the end. Why? Because a steady diet of sin and self will turn one into one who speaks sinful calamity. It's like spiritual mad cow disease, right? That if you just continue to eat yourself, right, alive with your foolishness, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. It doesn't end well. From beginning to end, it's crazy. And the inner character of a fool, who he is revealed in his speech because the way we talk always reveals who we are in our hearts. And such a one knows only one way to live, and that's propagating endless folly. And that's what he says in verses 14 and 15. Here's the endless folly that comes. A fool multiplies words, though no man knows what is to be, and who can tell him what will be after him? The toil of a fool wearies him, for he does not know the way to the city. What does Solomon say? Well, a fool just continues to multiply the words. He cannot speak what is helpful and beneficial. So because he can't speak what's helpful and beneficial and wise, he just says more words to try to cover it up. Okay, a really bad motto, but a motto here that a fool lives by is quantity over quality, right? Well, I don't really know what to say, so I'm just going to keep saying it. And they just talk and they talk and they talk and they fill the void, right? He says nothing, but he doesn't seem to realize it. He just continues to listen to his own voice. And though no one knows what will happen, a fool will continue to postulate his ideas. And He'll find no answer in his foolish talk. And in verse 15, Solomon really gives us a note of humor here. Here's a funny situation. Here's a guy who doesn't know what he's saying because he's a fool. And so he just keeps talking, right? He multiplies words. And he's pretending to be full of wisdom. He's just prattling on. And he's so foolish as he's doing this, he can't even find where he's going. He doesn't even know how to get to town, right? He doesn't know anything. He's a fool. But he just talks and he talks and he talks. He talks a big game, but his life is never going to be able to back it up. This is what foolishness does. It's just endless. You're never going to get to a point where, oh, you know, I've got it figured out now. It's just going to dig a hole deeper and deeper and deeper. It's going to eradicate any trace of wisdom that may be in that situation. And it leads to foolish attitudes in one's life and nation. And this is where we come to the end of this chapter tonight, and we see the foolish attitudes that Solomon warns against. He says in verses 16 and 17, here is a foolish failure. Woe to you, O land, when your king is a child and your princes feast in the morning. Happy are you, O land, when your king is the son of nobility and your princes feast at the proper time for strength and not for drunkenness. So folly leads to failure within a nation, first of all. Solomon has spoken previously about the price of folly in leaders, and this theme is recapitulated here once again. What he says is a nation pays the price when its leaders are foolish. And an immature king who does not live in wisdom but feasts with his princes in the morning instead of caring for the people is no good. He harms his people by serving his own desires and good. When it says here in verse 16, woe to you, O land, when your king is a child. He's not really talking about the king being a youth necessarily. It refers more to his lack of maturity. He's just acting like a child. He's childish. If the king is immature, what does he do? He surrounds himself with those who are also immature, and they're going to take advantage of the situation. So, you know, here they are, all immature and thinking themselves wise when they are fools, and feeding off of each other. And so they use this power and this position they have as the leaders of the country to benefit themselves, right? To find momentary pleasure, self-gratification. And this brings woe upon the land. Instead, a land is made glad, right? Happy are you, O land, when your king is the son of nobility, when this one is wise. When Solomon talks about the one who is the son of nobility, he's talking about one who understands how a ruler is supposed to lead a nation. He and his princes, they feast at proper times, right? They feast not in the morning. They feast for the right reasons. They feast for strength and not for drunkenness. They're going to put the good of the nation before their own desires and comforts. What does Solomon say? He says this leadership that is wise, it leads with self-control. Because wisdom brings self-control. You see, they have expectations to the people they rule to fulfill, but folly is going to lead instead to failure. When we engage in foolish behavior, we fail those who depend on us. Now, in this room tonight, I don't think we have any rulers of nations, okay? But God has woven us into the lives of others. And when you live foolishly, turning your back on the things of God, you fail those whom God has put in your life. Your calling and my calling as followers of God is not to be perfect. I don't want to give this idea that if you don't live perfectly, you just let down everybody in your life because we struggle with sin. At the same time, let us not use that as an excuse. Like, well, you know, nobody's perfect, so I just kind of do what I want. If I live foolishly, nobody gets hurt. You know, God gives grace. No. Like, we're called to live in obedience to the things of God, to strive after him and seek wisdom with his help. We are called to live for the glory of God in his wisdom. And when we do not do this, we must understand that we are going to inevitably affect the people who are linked to us. Folly always has consequences. And we can choose our sin, but we can't choose the consequences of our sin. And so Solomon closes in verses 18 through 20 with the consequences of folly, folly's consequences. Through sloth, the roof sinks in, and through indolence, the house leaks. Bread is made for laughter, and wine gladdens life, and money answers everything. Even in your thoughts, do not curse the king, nor in your bedroom, curse the rich. For a bird of the air will carry your voice, or some winged creature tell the matter. So what does Solomon say about foolishness or folly's consequences? Well, folly leads to laziness, right, or to slothfulness. And through sloth, things are left unaddressed. So here you have in verse 18, you have one who did not address the roof of his home, and now because of that indolence, his house is leaking when it rains. You see, folly invites us to serve ourselves and our wants. Hey, listen, you earned this. Just take it easy. You don't really need to work on that. It calls us to leave our responsibilities behind. And we cannot do this without feeling the effects that it has on our lives. There are things in this life that we can enjoy and we can use to our benefit, but verse 19 in its immediate context seems to be the life motto of those who live foolishly. Eat all you can, drink all you can, get all you can, right? Enjoy life to the fullest. Eat, drink, and be merry. That's what verse 19 seems to be, this motto of the fool. And God has certainly given us good gifts to enjoy, but they must be enjoyed in their proper place and in the proper manner. Otherwise, we find ourselves completely unfulfilled, as Solomon has already said, and in severe trouble in our folly. And then finally tonight, Solomon warns how to live your private life and how you should express yourself. It is no secret that one of the favorite pastimes of people is complaining. Would you agree? Yeah. I won't ask you how many of you like to complain, okay? I won't ask you to show your hands, okay? But that's just what we like to do, right? We don't like something, we complain about it, right? And a lot of times, we don't even want to talk to the person who can fix it, we just want to say bad things, right? People are ever given to this. You know, they speak out the things they experience in their life, they complain about the government, right? The people who are over them. But Solomon says, hey, this private venting, you need to be careful about that. It has a way of getting out. It won't be long before what you think was and what you said you thought was in private finds its way into the public. You know, he talks about a bird of the air will carry your voice or some winged creature will tell the matter. Okay, he's not talking about, you know, robot birds from the government, okay? You know, that's a thing out there on the internet somewhere, okay? What he's talking about is, you know, the things that you say that you think are private, you're not going to know this, but sometimes those things are going to get out. And you're going to be in a whole lot of trouble because you weren't wise in the things you said, right? You were foolish. We must meditate on the Word of God and let that shape how we think, because how we think is how we speak. Solomon has presented here a government that was infested by folly. It is certainly that which discourages those who fall under its rulership, but we must be careful how we respond even to those who are foolish. We must check our thoughts with God's word and allow him to shape our thoughts before we let loose that which will one day undermine us. Folly's consequences are hard indeed, so therefore, let us heed the words of Solomon and live in wisdom. Folly may offer self-gratification in the short term, but it cannot protect your life or offer you true meaning. Folly, foolishness, appeals to the sinful, base nature of human beings. It pulls at us, desiring to give us, desiring for us to give into its selfish pursuits, the self-gratifying behaviors, and the self-focused lifestyle that it so longs to help to have us engage in. However, if you live in folly, you will pay the price. You cannot ignore the ways of God and expect to get away with it. You cannot detest the wisdom of God and expect that life is just going to work out the way you hope. Living a meaningful life means engaging with the wisdom of God. It means pursuing it, seeking God's work in your life, and asking Him to help you grow and change in Him. It means heeding the warnings against folly that we have seen here tonight. And we need these warnings so we can see and steer clear of the foolishness that lies with them. Folly has a way of sneaking into our lives when we're not on guard. We must keep watch over our hearts. And then we do that with the Lord's help, ever seeking His wisdom and submitting ourselves to His growth and change. And if we will do so, we can live out the life of purpose, of meaning, that God has set before us, one that, as Solomon will get to here, as we've said throughout Ecclesiastes, is a life that fears God and keeps His commandments. Father, thank You for the day You've given us and the bringing us back here tonight to hear the Word of God once again. Thank You for the warnings of Scripture that You give us against things such as living in folly and engaging in foolishness instead of wisdom. Help us to hear and heed these words. Help us to live in the wisdom of God to the glory of God, that we may enjoy the blessings of God on our lives. The greatest blessing we can ever experience is a right and active relationship with You that bears fruit. And Lord, help us to submit ourselves to the Word of God and see that wisdom played out in our lives each and every day. We ask that You would be with us as we go from this place this week. Help us to think on these things and meditate on the Scriptures, and bring us back here again. In Your name we pray. Amen.